Hello, actors, and welcome to episode number 46 of the ActorCast. I am your host, Patrick McAndrew, and we have yet another amazing episode for you today. If this is your first time visiting and listening to ActorCast, head over to our website, actorcast.fm, and sign up for our newsletter so that you can receive the latest and greatest information on upcoming guests. So today we are joined by casting director Erica Hart, who graduated from NYU's Tisch School of the Arts, where she studied film and television. Erica has been casting for over 10 years on many high-profile projects. She started off in network and studio casting, moving her way up to casting coordinator in the New York office of ABC Primetime Casting. In 2014, Erica appeared in The Hollywood Reporter as a featured rising artist. She has cast projects that have screened at the Tribeca Film Festival, South by Southwest, Outfest, CineQuest, and the Cannes Film Festival, and are streaming on Netflix and Amazon. She has cast commercials for high-end brands such as Maybelline, Gillette, Hasbro, and Delta, and she has also collaborated with the National Black Theater and has cast a handful of their productions. Erica is a wealth of knowledge, and I'm so excited to have a conversation with her today. We talk about a lot. We talk about what brought her into the wide world of casting. We also discuss, for those of you who might not be familiar with it, Erica walks us through the casting process and what that looks like on a variety of different types of projects. We discuss what Erica enjoys most about working with actors, what she looks for in an audition, some of the do's and don'ts that actors should keep in mind for auditions, and what is important to Erica specifically as a casting director. There is so much in this episode. If you like this episode, head to actorcast.fm and please leave us a review. Leaving us a review goes a long way in spreading awareness about the show. So without further ado, let me please introduce today's guest of ActorCast, Erica Hart. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the ActorCast. Today, we are joined by casting director Erica Hart. Erica, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk and have this wonderful conversation.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you here. You've done a lot of amazing work within the casting world throughout, you know, the past several years. And you've worked on a variety of projects, too. I know that you've done film, television, theater, and we have actors who tune into this show who are coming from all walks of life, interested in a variety of different mediums, acting in a variety of different mediums. And so I'm excited for you to shed your light and your knowledge and your insight based on your experience in the casting world. I'm wondering if you could start by sharing with our listeners what brought you into the world of casting.
Yeah, so I went to film school, NYU, and fairly quickly a classmate of mine wanted to make a film outside of the curriculum. Our freshman year, she was very adamant on the fact that she wanted to make a film outside of the curriculum, and she was also adamant on the fact that everyone had their own role. So she was a director, you were the writer, you were the producer, because especially in student filmmaking or indie filmmaking, the director wears a lot of hats, but she was very adamant and everybody wearing their own hat. And we printed out a crew list, and like the second to last thing was casting director. And I had a dance background. I had no idea what a casting director was. I kind of had an idea that somebody was in, you know, behind the table making decisions, but I didn't necessarily know it was a career. But I was like, okay, I'll do this for this film. I had no idea what I was doing. But NYU, as well as any other art school or film school, is very competitive. And everyone wanted to be, you know, the best writer or the best director. And I was in this corner doing that thing, and nobody saw me as a threat. So everybody said, you know, oh, you did that thing for that film. Can you do that thing for my film? And I was the girl that did that thing.
Oh, interesting.
And I kind of had a monopoly going all through college. And
wow.
That's what I did. That's what I did in college. I would cast everybody's films, everybody's exercises for film class, everybody's intermediate films, and then everybody's thesis films. So it was a fun time. It was a fun time.
Wow. Well, talk about seeing a need and meeting that need as well. Like, I love how you said you sort of became like this monopoly at your school because no one else was doing the casting directing. And I can only imagine that now, you know, that you're out of school in the professional world, that all of that experience really helped a lot in your professional work now.
100%. I always say to people who are budding casting directors, even budding producers or things that didn't necessarily maybe go to film school, it was definitely a huge practice because again, I didn't know what casting was. I didn't know the process of casting. And it was definitely 4 years of learning the process, putting out breakdowns on different sites, learning those sites in school so that when I got to my senior internship at NBC, I had a good understanding of what the process was and how to do it electronically, how to do it not electronically, and have a sense of some agents and managers because some of them would submit to my breakdowns, having a little bit more sense of the acting pool, you know, because there were people that would come in for the student films that I would see also at the offices that I worked at when I was in school and then fresh out of school. So it did provide a good foundation that I probably wouldn't have had if I didn't start casting at that time.
Yeah. And I think to go back what you were saying before too, initially a casting director, you weren't sure what this role was. You weren't sure what that process was like. And I think that there are a lot of actors, especially actors who are just starting in their careers, who are kind of mystified a little bit by the role of a casting mm-hmm. director. So I'm wondering if you could share with us in a general sense, what the process is like for a casting director. What is that job entail? With the understanding that, of course, with every project, it's going to be a little bit different.
That's a good little caveat. You know, everything is different. Every job is different. Every medium is different. Every job and medium is different. But usually the process kind of goes along the lines of, you know, you get hired. That's the first step along the way. You get hired and then you talk to the creative team. The creative team will usually be the director, the producers, the writers, the people that make the thing, right? Be it theater, be it a TV show, be it a movie, be it even a commercial, right? You talk to somebody or maybe you talk to everybody on that creative team. And that's usually called like a concept call or even a concept email where you just outline everything. Hopefully you've already read the script at that point. If there's a script to be read, sometimes there's not a script to be read. Sometimes there's an outline. Sometimes all you get is a log line. Sometimes you have no idea what you're going into, especially if it's like one of those big Marvel or Lucasfilms or blockbuster type of things where you might not know what you're getting into.
And just real quick, for those of those listeners who might not be familiar, what is a log line?
A log line is usually one or two sentences, maybe three sentences that tells the whole story of what you're doing. Yeah. So a synopsis is usually longer, but a log line is usually, you know, one to two sentences describing the thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you have this concept meeting with the creative team or a concept email, as you were saying. And then what's the next step after that?
Yeah. So after you've had that meeting or email, you might have, if it's a TV show or big blockbuster movie or studio movie, you would have to talk to those execs so that, again, it's all about everybody being on the same page. So hopefully you're on the same page at that time. This page is going to change, especially as the process goes, but at least at 5:30 on Tuesday, you are on the same page and then you get to work. Right? So you write the breakdowns, or again, everything is different. Maybe the creative team writes the breakdowns. And the breakdowns, of course, are the character descriptions specifically. You go through the script, and casting directors for principals are responsible for anybody who says anything on screen or on stage, right? So even if it's one line of the waiter number one, can I take your order, versus the lead of the film or the series regular on a TV show or the lead of a play or a musical, the casting director is responsible for everybody. So you go through the script and you make notes on the script. You know, you see what's already described in the script. If it's the role of Alex, it's like Alex, male identifying, 25, black, handsome, suave, charming. If that's already in the script, then you just take that from the script and you start writing that breakdown a little bit, you know, making it more rounded out so that the agents, managers, and actors, whomever is submitting, get to know who this character is through the words, not necessarily at that point through the sides in the script. Then you put it out. You know, there are different sites that we put it out on. You put it out so that agents, managers, and sometimes actors get to submit. We go through all the submissions back in the day, aka pre-March 2020. Then we would put out auditions for people to come in. Now, not so much. Put out self-tape auditions or virtual auditions, Zoom or other platforms. Then we get those auditions or we have those sessions. We pick the best to send to our creative team. Then the creative team then picks the pick. Then either, depending on the medium, we have to go through a level of approval, meaning if it's a TV show, you have to send it to the studio and the network. You know, I think that's another thing that people don't necessarily realize is that sometimes the creative team is not the final say. Sometimes it is the studio or network. If you're working on the theaters, it's the producer or the general manager or whatever that have the final say. If it's an indie film, then yes, then the director does have the final say. Unless there's a big producer who, an executive producer who is, you know, footing the bill, then maybe they have the final say. But I think with casting, the thing that you have to realize is that we're the filters, right? We have the eye for talent. You know, we go through the submissions, be it thousands upon thousands of submissions. We're not going to see thousands of thousands of people. We whittle that down to a certain percentage of people, depending on the project. There's no set number, you know, we whittle that down. And then we see those auditions or those submissions or whatever you want to call it. We see those, all of them. We watch all of them. And then out of that number, we then whittle it down to a smaller number and then send that away. And then that number is become into smaller number, maybe one or two, depending on, you know, if you want to have a producer session or a callback or things like that. And then that's whittled down to one. So that's kind of the process in a nutshell. Yeah, that's usually the classic process. You know, then, you know, there are actors, there are roles that are offer only. So maybe that process, and there's projects that are only offer only, right? And so that process is making lists, checking avails, and that process is also in the process of what I told you. You'll make a list of people, you'll check avails, you'll set reels, you'll send that list to the group, then they'll, you know, come up with their people that they want to offer it to. You can only put out one offer at a time, and then you do it that way too. So there are more ways, many ways to skin a cat, and I usually say poor cat.
Yeah. It's amazing. I appreciate you outlining that in such a succinct and concise way, because I think a lot of times I think actors could get in their heads about certain things, as I'm mm-hmm. sure you see often, you know, just mm-hmm. in the audition process. And so I appreciate you really outlining this in a very sort of streamlined process with the idea that there are some caveats occasionally.
Yeah. And I think the thing to think about is what I usually say is, you know, outlining that can be very daunting and overwhelming, you know, and what I usually say, always say to actors or even creatives at large, every step along the way is a win, right? So if you get called in for one role, for one co-star role, that was one line, I got 1800 submissions. Again, I'm not bringing in whatever that means. I'm not bringing in 1800 people. I'm during this time, I might bring in 40, right? So like 40 out of 1800, do the math. So yeah. that's not a big percentage. So if you're one of the 40, that's a huge win, right? And then if you are pinned or called back, that means that number is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, that you keep accelerating on that line, on this long journey through this process. So each step along the way, someone else has to say yes, right? And to get yeses are very, very hard sometimes, right? And so even that first audition, that first step, that means that either a casting director and or casting associate had to say yes to you to be brought in. If you get pinned, that means somebody from the creative team said your name at some point, right? Or that you are the choice. So that means more people have to say yes. If you book it, that means the person who is approving it, that means that whole team, sometimes it's 5 people, sometimes it's 10, sometimes it's 50. All of those people had to say yes. And so getting booked on the job is like lightning in a bottle, because everybody has to come to an agreement that you are the choice to say one line. And I'm not talking about the bigger, like the bigger roles, that Lord, that's like 5 lightnings in a bottle. But for any role that you see on stage, on screen, on the small screen, on your phone, whatever you're watching these mediums on, there are so many people that have to say yes. So booking it again is the cherry on top of the long processed cake that has to go through. But yeah, it's a win, and those are victories along the way, and you have to hold on to those victories because that's important.
Yeah, that's such a good point that you make, because it is with how many people submit, it really is amazing to even just get into that room or to just move on to that next phase, whatever that may be.
Or to be called in again by the casting director. That's another one that people don't think about, right? It's like, okay, maybe you didn't book that one job for that casting director. How many times is that casting director seeing you on that project or other projects, right? That is a huge win, because that means, hey, you might have not booked that job, but I see you in this world, or I see you in another world that I'm casting, because a lot of casting directors are casting multiple projects at the same time. So that is a huge win, I think, because it's like, we're just going to keep trying until you hit. We're going to keep trying until you hit, you know? And so that is a huge one that people don't think about. Or it's like, hey, I was just at brunch with so-and-so and we were just talking about projects and I brought you up. And then that casting director is now bringing you in. You know, this world is small. This business is even smaller and we all talk, you know? And so I think it's a huge win, you know, to think about it this way and not just like, oh, I didn't get the job. It's like, okay, well, let's backtrack. How far did you get? Or did you were even seen, right? Or how many times have you been seen by this casting director? All of those things are important, because it's the process, right? The booking, of course, is the cherry on top of this long process cake, but it's the process that counts. And that is the job. Auditioning is the job. Yeah. If you audition once a week for a year, that's 52 auditions. Chances are you're not going to book 52 times. Like, again, hey, crazier things have happened, right? But you're probably not going to book 52 times. It's just not in your, the statistics are not in your favor, but you might book once, you might book 4 times, you might not book at all. And you might get just callback after callback after callback, but you have to see the progress and you have to see the process, right? Of that journey, of that time, and just hold on to those victories as tight as you can.
Wow. Yes, that is, I'm resonating with this so much. I think that what it comes down to from what you're saying, at least from what I'm picking up what you're saying, is that, you know, it's not only about building relationships with casting directors and other people in the industry, but it's also, it hits home the importance of actors really bringing their best and being prepared for auditions. When it comes to auditions, when you're going through all of these submissions that you receive, these thousands of submissions, what are you looking for in an audition? Is it simply, okay, does this actor fit this character based on what I believe and based on the conversations I've had with the creative team? Or is it a lot more than just that?
You know, I think... Oh, first of all, there's a difference between submissions and auditions, right? So like the submissions, I could get 1,800, 2,000 submissions. I'm looking through all of those submissions, but those are just headshots and resumes, right? So that's the first line of defense of bringing people in. And then the auditions are from those submissions and also other lists that we come up with. That's another thing. Like, just because, don't freak out like, oh, I don't have an agent or a manager, or, oh, I don't know if I'm being submitted. It's also my job to then also think outside of the submissions and go through my own database and say like, wait, I know this person wasn't submitted, or I know this person's not represented, but I know they're great and I think they would be great for this, so I'm gonna bring them in as well. So don't feel like, oh, I'm not gonna be submitted. There are other ways to be getting auditions. So I just wanted to say that. I think the grand old question of, you know, what are you looking for, or what stands out, right? The thing, I think the first line of defense is exactly what you said, right? And I talk a lot about the term preparation, because a lot of people think, and this is, you know, for TV film, theater is a different thing, but for most of the time I work in TV, most of the time, and sometimes I work in film and sometimes I work in theater. But I would say for TV specifically, realizing that this medium is different than all the other mediums, because it's an evolving medium, especially if you have a pilot. A pilot is just the one episode that then moves along to episode 2, then maybe season 2 if they're lucky, then season 22 if they're SVU or things like that. This thing evolves, this thing moves. It's the only medium where writers are writing for actors, right? Because they don't know who they're going to cast, and it doesn't end. With a film, it starts and it ends. With a theater, curtain goes up, curtain goes down. It's the same thing. With TV, it's going to be different hour or half hour after a half hour or hour, right? So it's the only medium where writers are writing for the people that get cast. And so I think with that in mind, with the bigger roles, be it the series regulars or the recurs or the guest stars, you have to make it personal to you, right? It's a personality game. How many shows have we watched where we're just like, I don't know if this is the best actor, but there's something that I like about them. You know, and it's because it's personal to them. They are putting their own personal spin on it. Now, there's a catch 22 with that. It's not, you know, it's not necessarily just be like, okay, I'm gonna do this thing because that's what's gonna make me set apart. I'm gonna do this thing. It's gonna catch them by surprise. No, don't do that, because then we can see that. But if you're reading the script and you're like, I know this role is Alex, what would Erica do as Alex? What is natural for me to do? What is authentic for me to do? Whatever that is, do it, because that is just going to set you apart just by being you. There's 7 billion people on the planet, and this is woo-woo, but there's 7 people on this planet and there's only one you. So if I am casting something and I'm seeing 40 people and I give them the same side, which is what is the process, I should see 40 different reads, right? Because we're all different people. So I usually say during your preparation, if you're preparing and you're like, okay, I think I'm done, ask yourself this one question. Will they get this audition anywhere else? If the answer is yes, you're not done. If the answer is no, good night, go to sleep. See you when I see you. So you just have to think about it that way. Now, when you get the one-liners, things like that, those are the thread. That's the fabric of the world, right? Can I take your order? Things like that. Give them me something up top, give me something in the bottom. If you enter, and you exit. But also, these things have life. These things have energy. We don't just stand there and say, can I take your order? You know, then it's like, oh, okay, what happened to you today? But we've all been in a restaurant where we've been taken to our seat by a host or a hostess. We've all been in a cab where someone says, where are you going? You know, little things like that. That is the thread of the world. But don't think that you can just get away with just saying the line. You still have to put some energy into there, and you have to put something in there. But as the lines get longer, and as the roles get bigger, that's your more time to show who you are. And I need to see who you are. So that's usually what stands out to me. And just realizing that a choice is a choice. There is no wrong choice. It's just, like you said, a choice that is closer. And I'm using big, big quotations for those that are listening. Closer, because again, things change. Closer to what they want on that day, at that hour, at that minute. Because you, like we said, we have the concept call and we try to get on the same page. And then they realize after hearing your auditions, because again, you are usually the first time that these people are hearing their words out loud in an unbiased way. You don't know these people most of the time. So you coming in and saying their words is from jump unbiased, right? Because you don't know who they are. So you're just giving your take, your choice, your opinion. So when people say make choices, that means have an opinion. Right? So a word, a line, a phrase, a page shouldn't go by without your opinion, your stamp, your point of view. So that's really, really what's important. I want to know what your opinion is on the work as you say it. And it's easier said than done, right? That's why it's a craft. That's why it's acting. That's why it's beautiful. So I think that's something that you have to think about is, how can I make this me authentically, not just to me making a joke, not to just be doing a thing to make you stand out. You're going to naturally stand out. I call it the Wizard of Oz rule. You had it within you the whole time. And that's all we want to see, is just you. I think that's really, really important to think about and to go on in your work. And again, preparation doesn't just mean to be off book. It also means doing your research. Yeah, who are these people? Have they done anything before? They probably have. No one's just going to give some random person a show. Yeah, so if you're going in for Blue Bloods, watch Blue Bloods. It's been on for years and years. If you're going in for SVU or any of the Dick Wolf shows and you've never seen a Dick Wolf show before, you're doing yourself a disservice, right? If you were going in, if we weren't actors and we were in finance or any other industry that I can't think of right now, if you were going to go into an interview, you would do your research and you would be on time and you would have printed out your resume and you would have looked nice and things like that. Same thing goes for here. This is a business. There is a professionalism that still also has to go into play that people sometimes don't think about because it's like, oh, it's the arts, it's loosey-goosey, but no, things are there for a reason, yeah? And on the other side, we are all human, so things happen. So always be in communication. If you can't submit the self-tape by the 3 p.m. on a Tuesday, let me know. Maybe there is an extra day. Maybe there is even an extra 30 minutes or an hour that we can play with. But if it's that 3 p.m. on a Tuesday and I haven't gotten your tape yet and I'm reaching out to you being like, yo, babe, where's your tape? And you're like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot this thing, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, now we're having this conversation when you could have told me that even a minute ago, right? Everything happens. But the thing also about it is you don't know what's happening behind the scenes. You might be the choice. You might be the only person that we're calling in because maybe the actor, the director saw you in something and they're like, this is the person, right? And so 3 p.m. on a Tuesday, I'm very excited to see your tape because you are the only one. And now we just have to show it to prove it to the other people. Yeah. So again, the deadlines are there for a reason. Try to make your deadline. But if you can't, it's the world. We're living in a crazy world right now. Just let us know. And I think that was a very long answer to what your question was. Hopefully there's something in there.
Oh my gosh, there is. There is. There's so much to unpack with this. It's what everything of what you're saying is just I for our actors who are tuning in, listen to what Erica just said time and time again. Rewind the podcast and listen to it again because there's just some key nuggets that you were talking about in there that are so important. And I love how you talked about the structure of the medium as well, specifically talking about how the difference with television than with film and theater. I think that's a really important point that a lot of actors don't think about sometimes, that that with television, you are in a lot of ways writing to who that actor is and how they're portraying that character.
Yeah. If you take, I worked at ABC for years. If you take Modern Family, Eric Stonestreet, who played Cam, he did that whole clowning bit. That came from a break room conversation. He was just like, yeah, you know, that one time at clown school and they were like, hold the phone. What the heck did you just say? And they made that into the character. Right. And I think I was watching some like Nickelodeon, like back in like 90s Nickelodeon documentary. And they were talking about Clarissa Explains It All and about how Melissa Joan Hart was completely different than all the girls walking in the room. She just didn't, like, she like walked in with some Doc Martens and like an overall and they were like, that's the role. And then if you look at Clarissa Explains It All, like that's the outfit, you know? And like right, her favorite band was like Al Skinny, I don't know, but that was then the Clarissa's favorite band, you know? Wow. So like little things that personalize it and would be different if Kirsten Dunst got Clarissa Explains It All, or if Jesse Tyler Ferguson got the role of Cam and not the other way around. So little things go a long way because they're writing for the long haul. They're writing for this show to be a classic. They're writing for this show to, especially network, they're thinking that the show is going to be on for 7 years. So they are looking for that special sauce, and that special sauce is literally just innately you.
I love that so much. It's so important for actors to remember that and keep that in mind. You had mentioned a little bit ago about when actors submit, they have their resumes, their headshots. As a casting director, especially one that works so heavily in television as well as film, how important is it for actors to have demo reels, with the understanding that especially with emerging actors or those just starting out in their careers, they might not have a lot of material? How can they combat that? Is it a matter of shooting their own material and then making a reel out of that? What is your stance on that as a casting director?
I think reels are as important as they are. And I know that makes no sense, but I think your reel is basically your resume in motion, right? So that's what classically it is, your resume on screen, your resume that I can see. But like you said, some people don't have reels. Some people are budding actors, or some people are in this business for a long time and just haven't gotten the opportunity to act. And I mean that in the way of maybe they've only booked one-line roles, and there's nothing wrong with that. But maybe they're saying, you know, I really haven't had the opportunity to flex my muscle. I really haven't had the opportunity to show my craft. And what I would say to that is, don't feel like you have to have a reel, again, just for the sake of having a reel. And it's like, well, I shot this web series in 2013 and it was shot on an iPhone 1 and there's no sound, so I'm going to put that on my reel. Don't put that on your reel. That has no reason to be on your reel. You know, that has not, that, because again, your reel is a part of your brand. And I know people are like, brand this, la, 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 la. But it's a part of your brand. So if you are putting something that shouldn't be on your reel just to have a reel, I don't think that's going to help you. What might be better if you're like, well, Eric, I don't have a reel. Okay, go online, find some sides and record them, you know, or find a monologue and record that and upload that. At least I can see, right? At least I can see the acting in play. Even those that don't have the reel that maybe they want to have, I get submissions from actors and even agents and managers, big agencies, agents and managers who just sign people, like you said, out of school. They have no reel. They're sending me recent self-tapes. Like, here's a recent self-tape they did, right? And that is gold too, because again, I just want to see your muscle. I just want to see, you know, the craft itself. And that is a big, big help. So I think don't feel like you have to, you know, go out and have a fancy camera and shoot a short film unless that's what you want to do. I think if you look at Issa Rae, if you look at Alana and Abby and people who created their own work and are now, you know, creators themselves, I think it does, you know, if you have that in you, if you do want to create that work, go out, but don't feel like you have to. Don't feel like, also, if you do want to create that work, don't feel like you have to have the fanciest equipment either. You know, I think people are shooting things on their iPhones and on their Samsungs and whatever brand phone you have, and it looks gorgeous, you know? So I think if you have that muscle, use it. And if not, then go online, find some side and put them on, and then we can see it that way. But I hate the thought that people have to do something, you know, when again, you could literally just do it at home.
Yeah. You make really good points, I think, about the importance of just seeing the craft. If they don't have a reel, sending in those either past self-tapes, filming a scene or a monologue real quick and sending that over. It's encouraging to know, especially for those actors who are tuning in, who might not have footage for a reel, that they can just simply use the resources that they have at hand to be able to send in footage in that way.
Yeah. And also, like I said, like, even if you do have a reel, there's also, and you're like, I don't know if it reflects, you know, my acting ability, then you can also do that. I see that all the time where, again, agents and managers and actors will say, attached here is my reel, but also here's a recent self-tape or here's a monologue that I just put on.
Yeah. I'm wondering, you know, we're just about to wrap up, but I'm wondering, why you do this work? Why is this work that is important to you? Why is it something that you either enjoy doing or get some sort of fulfillment out of? I imagine you must, since you've been doing it for several years now. You have this opportunity to work with a lot of actors, with the creative team on projects as well. Why is this work that's meaningful for you?
I like working with people. I like connecting people. I think one of my favorite things is to be able to connect people, to be able to give people jobs. Now realize I'm not the person that says yes, right? I'm not the last person on this to be like, end your book. I'm not signing anybody's checks. I'm not giving out anybody coin. That's not what I do. But I do like the idea that casting in particular is, again, the first step along this long journey. And tonight, but also it's the thing that is the connecting factor for a lot of things, right? So when I was in school, I just thought you bring in the people, you get them cast and you're done. And not to say that that's not true, but you're talking to so many people, and I'm not a talker. I wouldn't necessarily call myself back in the day a people person, but this job has really opened myself up and given me confidence and taken this shy girl from DC and changed her into this person that you see today. But I do really love helping people. I think that's something that I do love and that people see in me, that I do love helping people. I love connecting people and realizing that, you know, we're not saving lives per se. We're not putting out fires. We're not in the hospital. We're not doctors, but we are helping people follow their dream. And there's something that's really lovely about getting an email being like, hey, Erica, like, you were the first person to bring me in for TV, or, hey, Erica, I got to make my insurance this month, or, hey, Erica, like, now I can now say that I'm a recurring actor. And that's really awesome. And the thing about casting is, again, you're talking to so many people. Of course, you're talking to the agents and managers and the actors, and of course, the creative team and the execs, but you're also talking to costumes. You're talking to the ADs, you're talking to the line producers, you're talking to hair and makeup. I'm now doing animation. So now I'm talking to post, you know, and you're talking to so many people. And it's like, wow, I don't necessarily think the DP is talking to all these people. I don't think the editor is talking to all these people, but you're talking to all these people as the casting director. And I think that's so awesome. And the fact that on the last show I was working on, there were 6 roles that we needed to fill. And out of those 6 roles, 4 of them had never done TV before, but they were huge musical theater people. They were like huge musical theater people, but they had never had a TV credit. And I thought that was really awesome. I thought that was really cool that these women were busking it out on stage, 8 shows a week on tour. You know, they've done years and years of musical theaters, but they hadn't broken in to screen. And I was able to help them do that. So that was really, really awesome. And also it's entertainment. So it's fun, especially when you're working on comedy. You know, like you're watching thousands upon thousands upon thousands of self-tapes at 4 in the morning on a Saturday. But when it's funny and they make it funny and they make it their own, that's where it's like, okay, I know this is crazy. I know this is stressful. I know I haven't eaten in 2 days. I know I haven't slept all week. But this one audition is the reason why I do this, because this is the gold. This is what is like, okay, got it. Cool. See you on set. And maybe they don't get picked, but at least I saw that and I can, you know, be lifted up by this person's audition.
Yeah. Oh man, Erica, thank you so much for joining us on the Actor Cast, and not only for taking the time to join us on the show, but I just really appreciate the work that you do and the passion that you bring as a casting director. As you were saying before, it's because of people like you that actors are able to fulfill their dreams, that other creators are able to collaborate with one another and create storytelling that resonates with audiences all around the world. It's really important work that you're doing. So thank you so much for taking the time to share about what you do and to share some great insight and advice for actors as well. I'm wondering, before we sign off, if you could just share with us where we might be able to find more information about you and your work.
That's a really great question. And thanks again for having me, Patrick. And thanks for listening, all the folks, wherever you are. Wherever you're listening. Yeah, if you just want to follow me on Instagram I know that's very like, you know, 2022 of me to say, but follow me on Instagram at elove67. That's usually where I'll be and, you know, where things are found.
Great. Well, I'll make sure to include a link to that in our show notes. So listeners out there, all you have to do is scroll down in our show notes and you'll be able to see that link to Erica's Instagram. So be sure to check her out. Erica, one last thing. Do you have any parting words of advice for our actors tuning in today?
Ooh, yes. You know, it's an interesting time. It's a very interesting time. And it's a time in which that we are holding on to something that might not be helpful, in the fact of we might be comparing ourselves to other people, regardless of what time it is, right? And, you know, if our friend books, or maybe they're not our friend and things like that, and we're like, dang, I'm so happy for my friend. I'm very happy for my friend. But there's a little voice in you, side of you, that's saying like, why not me, right? Why not me? And just remember that they are on their path. You are on your path. And their path, it's all about timing, right? Their path might have them booking right now. Your path might have you booking tomorrow or a month from now or a year from now. Whatever it may be, it'll hit, right? I recently shared a story of when I was applying to colleges, I applied to 8 of them. I got into 7. The only one I didn't get into was Yale, right? And I'm a perfectionist, so I was like, ugh, fine. You know, like, okay, fine. Cut to last week, I had a workshop with their grad students at Yale.
Wow.
So it's crazy how the world works. I got rejected as an undergrad student, but I got accepted to go speak to their grad acting students. Right?
Wow.
So it's crazy how the world works. Ariana DeBose recently said, it might have not hit when the way I wanted to, but that doesn't mean it's not going to hit, right? And so I love that, because rejection is often God's protection or the universe's protection or whatever you want to call it. It is very important to realize that sometimes it's not going your way because it's not for you. And that doesn't mean that it has anything to do with your talent, your look, your preparation, your work ethic, whatever it means that it's just not for you at that moment. And realizing that sometimes what you want to do might not be in the same package of what you're thinking it is, but it's going to be something even better. So I went into school thinking I was going to be a director. Now, not saying that that's never going to happen, but now I'm a casting director. It's weird how things happen, right? You might say, okay, I want to be an award-winning actor. And the universe, God, whatever you believe in, might say, you know what? You said award winning. I'm going to take that. And we're going to make you an award winning costume designer, right? So you just never know what's going to happen. Always say yes to the possibility. Always say yes to whatever might happen. I never thought I was going to be a casting director, but I said yes along the way. And here I am today. There are many yeses along the way that you might not even think are yeses or a part of your journey, but they are. So try not to compare yourself. I know it's hard. We're human beings, especially artists, and we're seeing people hit and we're seeing people do the thing that you want to do, but that doesn't mean that you can't do the thing that you want to do. We're always one job away. Jessica Chastain said that on their SAG speech. You're only one job away of doing whatever you want to be. If you want to be a actor on Broadway, you're one job away from that. If you want to be a star, you're one job away from that. If you want to be a working actor, whatever that means for you, you are one job away from that. So just keep going. You can't do it unless if you quit, but you can keep going and you're gonna hit. At some point, you might not hit when you wanna hit, but you're gonna hit.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of ActorCast. You can head to actorcast.fm and leave us a review to let us know what you thought of this episode. If you haven't already done so, sign up for our newsletter to get the latest and greatest information on upcoming guests, showcases, and much more. I look forward to catching you all in the next episode, and you know what time it is. It's time to go out and create.